Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
All right, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 9. 2 Timothy 1, 9. Look what it says. It says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, it says according to our works. Listen to that now. Let's read it again. It says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, according to his purpose and grace. So we've been saved, called, right? We have been saved and we've been called, right? But look at how he says, saved and called, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. So look at how you can read it again. It says, we've been saved and called by his purpose and grace, right? Saved and called by his purpose and grace. But look at when. Which was given us in Christ Jesus. And everybody still, that almost sounds, if you could say, like normal, right? In Christ Jesus before the world began, right? That doesn't sound normal, right? Meaning normal, what people are normally used to hearing, right? That the things that were given as true, they were given in Christ. Now, it's a bit more correct to say that they were, the things that God gave to us, right, were manifested in Christ, right? Were manifested in Christ. But look at what he said. He said it was given. Given unto us, it says, in Christ Jesus before the world began. And verse 10 actually just kind of confirms what I just said there. It says, but is now made manifest, right? So it was given to you before the world began, but now in the time, right, has been made manifest by the appearing of our Savior. So the purpose and grace of God was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began, and then it was made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So that's a really cool thing. That's been something that the Lord has been teaching us about just this whole thing about before the world began. In Revelation chapter 13, I think, it says the Lamb of God slain, right, before the foundation of the world, right? Before the foundation of the world. So let's do this real quick, and I won't recap a whole lot. I'll try not to much at all, but in Genesis chapter 1, if we can go there. In Genesis chapter 1, And we know these things, and they're way a bunch of services before, but things that have been kind of building up to where we are now. But what we did is we contrasted Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, right? And we're not going to necessarily maybe read all that, but Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1 to John chapter 1, verse number 1, right? And John chapter 1, verse number 1 says that in the beginning was the Word, in the beginning. In other words, this beginning, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Here it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now that's, if you're just kind of comparing them side by side, that's actually John chapter 1, but it's down further, right? Because he says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then he says that everything was made, right? It also says that everything was made by him. It's speaking about the Word, right? Everything was made by him and for him, right? Everything was made by him and for him. So here it's saying that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So that's already kind of, that's where John was. John chapter 1 was talking about where he says that in the beginning everything was made by him. Here it says that everything was made, right? God made the heaven and the earth, right? And then it says, and the earth was without, this chapter 1 verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. So we see that that's the entrance of what? Again, looking at John chapter 1, you learn a lot of things, but we see that that is what? That's speaking there, let there be light. It's speaking about Jesus Christ, right? Because right in John chapter 1, again, it says that John, speaking about John the Baptist, not John the Apostle, right? It says that John, he said he came to bear witness of the light, right? Same light that it's talking about here. He said he came to bear witness of the light. It says he himself was not that light. And the reason why he was not that light is because he was not born again, right? So because John could not have the light and be called what we're called, right? What are we called? The church is called the light of the world, just like he is the light of the world, right? But we are also called what? Lights in the world. But why is that? Because you have the light of God on the inside of you. Why is it that that's a little bit of a hint why the Lord says that John was the greatest of men up to his time, right? But that we, the least in the kingdom of God, is greater than John. Why? Because we are light and he was not, right? Then he said himself, he is not that light, but he came to bear witness of him who is the light, right? And then here it says that darkness, so God looked on the world and saw that it was dark, and he called light, and light was. And obviously we know, just not that makes it true necessarily, because God said it, but the reason why we know also this light is not talking about the light of the sun is because the sun's not even created yet, right? We're still in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 4, and God said, let there be light, and creates the sun later on. So obviously that's not the light he's talking about. But the point is that's the light that he's talking about there in symbol is Jesus Christ, right? Just like in John 1, he's there called the Word, and then he's called the light, and then he's called the Word that became flesh, right? Jesus Christ, right? So then he says, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And it's interesting how we are called children of the day, right? And children of the day, or children of the light also were called, right? Children of light or children of the day. He says, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning, and that was the first day. So it's awesome to see when he says that from the beginning, and that was 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9, right, that he said the purpose and the grace of God was given to us in Jesus Christ. Watch, you're going to see it in a second. So obviously what you see is, the first thing that you see about the grace of God, which is awesome, and the purpose of God. God already purposed to already call us and save us, right, because isn't that what 2 Timothy said? That we were saved and called in Christ before the world was. So here you see that God saw darkness, and he knew what? And darkness is not knowing, right? Darkness is not being able to see, right? So here he says that God looked at the world and saw that there was darkness, and knew that he needed to what? Send light into the world. So that's obviously what he did. So you see from the beginning that was done in the beginning, before men ever had the opportunity to do anything right or wrong. In other words, the purpose and the grace of God is here before Adam even sinned. So Jesus Christ was not a response, right? In other words, God did not react to the sin of Adam, right? God already in his foreknowledge knew and already had, right, a lamb before there was ever a need for the lamb, all right? It's just good to see the grace of God, right, given. Right, the grace of God given, and all that he asks is that we hear. Right, all that he asks is that we hear. But let's keep going then. So, and then if you jump down, if you can, to verse number 10. So God brought the light in, right? And then he made, between, you know, verses number 6 and 9, he talks about the firmament, which he's talking about an expanse, right? In other words, the sky, right? The expanse. So he makes that, and then he says, and then in verse number 10, it says, or 9, I'm sorry, let's go to 9. Let's go to 9. You've probably seen the screen go up and down, 10, 9, then to 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry appear. And it was so. And God called the dry earth. Now it's a cool thing, and we don't have the time to go through it again, but that you can listen to prior services about how the dry, God saw the dry and knew that it needed to bear fruit, right? And it's a cool thing how that really is a picture of us, right? Being earth, right? Being earth and needing to receive what? Water, right? Which is a symbol of the Spirit of God, right? Needed to receive water in order to be fruitful. Because he calls the dry, he looks at the dry and then commands the dry earth, he commands it to be fruitful. Well, how does dry earth become fruitful, right? If not being watered, right? So it's just good to see, he says that he called the dry earth, and he said in verse number 11, it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind. And it says, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And verse number 12 says, and the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And then look at verse number 13. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And in verse number 14, God said, let there be lights. So he had made that firmament. He had made that expanse, right? The sky. So now he says, let there be lights. So he sent the lights already, right? He sent the lights. So he sent Jesus, right? Now watch this. He sends Jesus and he says, let there be lights also, right? Let there be lights in the sky. It says, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. So God makes lights now. He gives first the light, then he makes lights to what? To light the earth. He makes lights to light the earth. Now watch. Makes lights to light the earth. And let them be for, in verse number 15, and let them be for lights in the firmament, or in the expanse, right, of the heaven, to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. The stars is what he's talking about there when he says the lights in heaven, right? The lights in heaven to light the earth. Stars, right? Stars. And he said he made the stars also, and and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day, to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning, the fourth day. So what's really cool about the fourth day, what he's teaching there, is that what he does is, listen how you can see, it's important to have in your mind what we just read, right? 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse number 9 says that the purpose of God, the purpose for us, the purpose of life, right? Everything that we have, that the purpose and the grace of God, the grace of God, which is everything that God has given freely to us without it being merited, without us working for it, everything that he freely gave us was given to us before the world began, right? So if we can't see it here, I mean, we have to be able to see, right, for the Lord to teach us the gospel and to be able to teach it, because that's when it was given, right? So he says then, so watch how cool this is, just about the grace of God, right? Because there are so many that even though they have the light of God on the inside of them, which they did not work for, which they did not get in there, which they did not make to expand. They have the light of God on the inside of them no matter what they have had done prior, good or bad. They have the light of God on the inside of them because they accepted Jesus Christ, right? But even though they have the light, even though they have everything that's needful for life and for godliness, we see in Peter, right? Everything that you could ever need for life and for godliness, still people try to work that, right? To either work to get it, not knowing that they have it, right? Or in other words, trying to do something for him, trying to do something for God, trying to earn it, not to, in other words, to work in order, and Pastor Michael's praying it before, to work in order to achieve or to get something that's already been given, or to do something that's already been done. But if you back up and you say, okay, Lord, look at it like this. A star was made. The purpose of a star is to shine. Right? The star was given its light. It did not manufacture its own light. So all it has to do is be there and shine. And as long as it can shine the light in it, right? And I know, you know, nobody has to give me a lesson about how, oh, well, stars are actually, they're deflecting and they're reflecting. It doesn't matter. That's not the point, right? That's a whole other thing that we don't really care about. The point is that God made the stars to light the earth, right? God made the stars to light the earth. So a star's purpose, right, it's to work by grace, right? In other words, a star, all it has to do is shine. That's it. Shine from what's been given, right? So whether you're going to look at this carnally and say, well, it's really reflecting, it's not really shining from within, right, is ridiculous, because that's not the point. But the idea, though, is that all it's doing is being what it is. It is a star, right? So the cool thing that you see, the grace of God, if you really look at it, you know, in the beginning, God saw the darkness. So just look at it as the gospel, right? And see the grace of God, the purpose of God and the grace of God. God sees darkness and He sends light, right? God sees darkness and He sends light. Then God sees darkness, He sends light. God takes, right, and waters, right? In other words, gives to the earth, commands those that would receive that light to become fruitful. So God gives the light, and John is interesting. John says, and that light, actually he says, and that life, speaking about the life that is in Jesus, he says, and that life is the light of men, he says. I mean, and you look at that in John 1, and you talk about, you know, light, life, you know, what's all this talk about light and life? I thought it, and the word that became flesh, like when you, if you're looking at things carnally and you look at 1 John carnally, it makes no sense, right? He's the word and then he's life and then the light and the life was the life, the life was the light of men. But if you look at it in context of what God's doing and you look at it in light of Genesis chapter 1 by the Spirit of God, you see what he's saying. He says that the life was the light of men. So he sees darkness and lifelessness, right? So how does God bring life to the earth? Jesus said that he came to bring life and life abundantly. How did the life come in? The life came in through the light, right? Because the life was the light of men. So life, you can kind of look at it that life is light and light is life, right? So he brought in life by bringing, when he said, let there be light, light, that's how life came into the world. That's how life could happen. Nothing, no life could have been created. No organism, nothing that needs light could have happened if God wouldn't have said, let there be light first. Because without that light, there would have been no life. There is no light. There is no life, I should say. There's no life because the sun shines, right? The life that we have doesn't come from the sun, right? Even though we'd like to think that we're Superman, right? But it really doesn't come from the sun. The life that you have actually comes from God, right? So the cool thing that you see is that He sees the darkness and He sends light, right? Then he says to men that would receive that light. Remember the dry ground that would receive and become fruitful? He says to the men that would receive that life, He says, be fruitful. In other words, what I gave you, let it come out, right? Working out your own salvation in fear and trembling, right? He says, be fruitful. And then after it's fruitful, He says, now you've become a star, right? Why is it that it's after you're fruitful that you can shine? Because if you're not shining, in other words, not showing the Spirit of God in you, that's not called shining. That's being a dead star, right? If you're not showing the life in you, you're not really shining light. You know, I mean, little children in Sunday school sing it, right? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, right? I'm gonna let it shine, right? I'm not going to try to shine myself. Because by itself, a star has nothing, right? But in itself, right? What it's doing is it's giving forth the light of God, right? The light that God sent in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 2. He saw the earth and he said, actually that's verse number 3, let there be light, right? So the cool thing that you see about the grace of God and the purpose of God is that if you just look at it from the words that are being used there, star, light, earth, right, fruitfulness, the star, right, the light that it has came from the light that came in, right, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 3. So you see the purpose and the grace of God of a star is that of what the light that is given from the beginning, which is Jesus Christ. So it's a cool thing. Look at real quick, Genesis chapter 15. Let me show you this. Genesis chapter 15. I'll tell you the verse in a second. Look at verse number 5. Genesis 15:5. And this is speaking about Abraham, right? And it says, at the current time, Abram, not Abraham yet. He says, and he brought him forth abroad. He brought him outside and he said, look toward heaven and tell the stars. In other words, count the stars. If thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. So he says, look at the sky and look at the stars, how numerous they are. That will be your seed. The stars will be your descendants. The stars will be your seed. What are we called in Galatians chapter 3, and we see it throughout the Bible, right, that we're called the seed of Abraham. The seed of Abraham. So the seed of Abraham are stars, right? The seed of Abraham are stars. So it may sound to your ear maybe a little weird. Oh, what did he just say? He said we're stars, right? But listen, no one has a problem with you understanding, and Christians probably collectively agree that we are called in the Bible the light of the world, right? What is a star, right? A star is one, is something that gives light in darkness. Stars were created and put in the heavens, right? To light upon darkness. It's cool also that you see that a star in and of itself, right? That God saw the darkness, gave its light, right? And all that the star does is just do. It doesn't try to manufacture anything. It doesn't try to work. It doesn't try to toil. It just does what it is. And when you know that you are light, right? And that the purpose of God and what you've been called to, that you have been called in Jesus Christ, then you know what those two words then add up to? Purpose and calling. You say, you know what, Lord? What you're saying is the purpose, my purpose in life is Christ. That's why the apostle said, he said, to live is Christ. Purpose. That's your purpose right there. To live is Christ, right? My purpose is not to be a doctor. My purpose is Christ, right? It's not to have a profession. My purpose is Christ, right? It's in other words, my purpose is to be a star. My purpose is to be light. That's all. That's all. That defines your purpose. And then that purpose, furthermore, then, is by grace, right? By the grace of God. Let me show you this. If we can go, I'll tell you where. Romans chapter 9, right? So we saw that the Lord prophesied to Abram and he said, as the stars will be your descendants, right? The stars will be your descendants. Look at Romans chapter 9. I tell you, if you really see and you hear by the Spirit of God and you say, you know what, Lord, show me, Lord. Thank you, my God. Thank you, Lord, for the things, Lord, that you teach us, my Lord, that we don't have to try and noodle something, Lord, so that it'll make sense in our mind. We don't have to try to wrap our mind around what's being said, my Father. But we thank you, Lord, that it's just a simple thing, just called the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith, the same way that we were saved, is the same hearing of faith, Lord Jesus. Hearing you and allowing you to be the one to enlighten, Father. Who is the one that can enlighten other than he who is the light on the inside of us, Lord? So thank you, Lord, that we do acknowledge that you are the light within us, Lord. That you are the light, that you are the great light on the inside of us, Lord. And that you are the one, Lord, that has illuminated our hearts. And you are the one that enlightens the eyes of our understanding so that we can see the glorious light, you say, of the gospel. Isn't that awesome, Lord? In the book of Ephesians, Lord, you say that. In chapter 1, Lord, you say the glorious light of the gospel. The glorious light of the gospel. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So Romans chapter 9. Look at what he says. Romans chapter 9. And I'll tell you the verse. 4 is good. So this is just he's trying to teach who the children of God are, right? And he's talking about Israel. He's talking about Gentiles. He's saying, who are the children of God? Is it those that are just physical descendants? Who are children? And that's important because what the Lord is talking about tonight is who are the seed? Because if you establish a seed, you establish the stars he's talking about, right? Stars. Because that which is the seed of Abraham are the stars, and that which is the seed are the ones that will manifest right? The same thing that we read in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 10, I think it was. He said that light was made manifest through Jesus Christ, right? And light is defined by the Lord as that which makes manifest. Light makes manifest. Light shows, it makes manifest, right? So that's why it's important to establish the seed then. Who is that seed that God was talking to Abram about? And he says, who are the Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption? It says, and the glory and the covenants. Who are the Israelites to whom pertain the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers, and of whom are, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, right? Because he came as a Jew concerning the flesh, who is over all, God bless forever and ever. Amen. Not as though it says the word of God hath taken none effect. In other words, why is it then if they're the children of God and they're Jews by descendancy, what is it that the word of God just doesn't work then? And it says it's not that the word of God hath not taken none effect. It says, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. So it's saying not all that are physical descendants are actually really, really the children of God, right? And it says, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. That is, now listen to what he's doing. So he's establishing then who are the children of God. So he says, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they children, but here's the explanation. But in Isaac thy seed be called. So it says, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In Isaac thy seed shall be called. So in Timothy we just read, that we were saved and called in Christ, right? Here it says that in Isaac we were called. So were we called in Isaac or were we called in Jesus before the world began, right? So obviously it is in Jesus that we have been called. The purpose of God, right? The purpose of God and the grace of God was in Jesus Christ before the world began, and we saw that in Genesis. But here it says, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. The children of the promise are counted as the seed. So when are then the children of God, the children of God then manifest, right? Well, Abraham is the father of us all, he says. So Abraham is the father of faith. God made a faith covenant with Abram, right? And then it says that Abraham had a son, and the child's name was Isaac. So Isaac was born as a child of the promise of God, right? God made a promise, right? And Isaac was born through faith in that promise, right? Basically, Isaac was born through faith in God. Isaac was born through faith in God. How were you born? Through faith in God. Isaac was born through faith in God. You were born through faith in God. So it says, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And here's an interesting thing, pretty cool. We'll get there in a second. He says, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. It's interesting that he says that, by our father Isaac, right? But even by our father Isaac, for the children, look at what it says about the children of Isaac. And we know that the children of Isaac, the one that God acknowledged was who? Jacob, right? Out of all the children of Isaac, the one that God acknowledges as a son is Jacob. Right? Jesus said, you know, Father, you have loved them. Jesus said, you have loved them because they loved me. That's what Jesus said, right? I think it was John 17, I'm not sure. But he said, Father, you have loved them because they've loved me. Here, look at what he says. So Isaac is the one through whom we are called. We are called in Isaac, right? So it's important, whoever Isaac's next son is, right, is an awesome representation of the church then. Here he's talking about who is Israel. Who are the children of God, right? So watch. So he says in verse number 11, so he talks about Isaac, and he says, Isaac married Rebekah, and Rebekah has now, she's going to have two sons. And before they're born, watch what he says, for the children being not yet born, the children not being born yet, God already says their names and who it is that he loves, right? When was it that you received, that you were called? You were called before you were ever born. Actually, you were called before Adam was even made. Adam was the first one to be born of God, right? Right? Because in other words, he didn't come, he was the first one to not come by the will of the flesh, but by the will of God. Right? Two people did not come together to make Adam, right? God made Adam. So he was the first one to be made, not by the will of the flesh, right? But of the will of God. The same way we were born. Not of the will of the flesh, but of the will of God. And you can say, no, my mommy and daddy had me. But that's not the point. We're talking about your new birth, right? When you were born again. That's why it's called born again. Because that's what matters. Everything that happened prior to you being born again, right? All those things are passed away, and all now has become new from the day that you were born, right? Born of God. So it's cool that he says, for the children not yet being born, just like before we were, if you can look at it like this, right? Before we were made stars, before we were ever even fruitful, before we even received the water, you can say, the fountain of the Spirit of God, the water that Jesus was talking about to the Samaritan woman that said to her that if she were to drink that water, she would have life and she would not thirst again. Before we received that water, before we were dry, right? Before all of that happened, right? Before all that happened, we were already called in Christ. That's why we started off reading 2 Timothy, chapter 1, where he says that you were the purpose of God and the grace of God were before time began, right? Now watch this then. So he says, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil. You know what that's called? The grace of God, right? Not yet doing any good. So it's not like the power of God is in you because you're a good person or because you've never done anything bad or never done anything good. But the grace of God, right? The power of God on the inside of you, you're fruitful because you hear. Not because you're awesome because you always do the right thing, right? But because the purposes of God and the grace of God work in our lives through Christ who's on the inside of us, and we are able to manifest or be lights, right? We're able to manifest the light of God. Not because we're perfect, right? But because we have been made perfect inside, right? Because our spirits have been made perfect. Because we have been given a righteousness, which means you have been given the right, right? God gave you the right. You didn't earn the right. He gave you the right in Christ. And he gave you those rights. Before Adam was ever born, God already knew how men would become righteous through Jesus, right? That was already given. If it was done back then, how many people today really have a need to work for God? How many people today really have a need to do an awesome work for God before God can use them? How many people today have a great need to impress God with their good attitude and their good performance and their good behavior before they can receive salvation, before God can give them life, right? It's good to be able to see that, right? It's good to be able to see the purpose and the grace of God before the world began. So he says, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God. You see where it talked about the purpose of God before in Timothy. Here he says that God had a purpose in them before they were ever born. But that's true of them, but that's true of you too, right? Because that was before the world began. So the purposes of God for the son that he's going to mention now, the purposes of God, his name is Jacob, right? The purposes of God for Jacob were from Genesis, right? Were before it ever even began. Because he starts to establish, listen, he starts to establish evening and morning were the first day. And evening and morning were the second day, right? Isn't it awesome that what he did, what he called light into the world, it was not yet evening and it was not yet morning. In other words, time had not even began yet. Before time began, God sent the light. Before time began, God sent the light. That's what he says. Before time began. When did time begin? Right? Well, when sundown started, right? Time begins. But it had not even begun yet, right? Time had not even begun. There was no such thing yet, and God had already sent the light. Let there be light. Let there be light. There was no life yet. There was not even life yet, and God sent the light. It's good to see. It's good to see. It says, look what he says, and it says, and the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purposes of God according to the election, and it's cool because he calls the election later on, the election of grace. In other words, chosen by the grace of God, not chosen because they're so awesome, right? So he says that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that called them, right? He said of him that called them, and he said, it was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written. Look what he says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. What did he already do? He established a couple of things. Jacob is actually, his name is changed later on. You know what is the name Jacob? What he, that man is then later called? He's called Israel. What is God establishing? Who is Israel? Who is the church? The word church, what does the church, word church mean? The word church means the called out ones, ecclesia, right? The called out ones. When were you called? Before the world began. Who are the ones that God has really called? And if God called you, and if God purposed in you, you can live with the assurance, Father, that I have been called by you in Christ, right? And I have, my purpose is in Christ. Therefore, I'm not working and trying to muster up, right, what is needful, but I have one job to do, and that is be a star. And all a star has to do is here. All a star has to do is here, right? And it'll just go on being a star, doing what? Shining in a dark world, right? Shining where there is darkness. Shining where there is darkness. He says, before they had done anything right or wrong, he says that the election of God from the beginning, so that it might stand and be sure, he said, God, not of works, of the works of the two babies, right? They weren't even born yet. Rebecca was pregnant, and he was prophesying to her. He said to her, he said, Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. What was he saying? Jacob will believe me, Esau will not. It wasn't about what they did. It's that they, one would believe, the other one wouldn't. People struggle all the time between Cain and Abel. What was their problem? Well, one believed, the other one didn't. They make all kinds of weird assumptions that no, it was because God didn't accept the type of offering. See, because one was of the fruit of the field and the other one was an animal sacrifice that he bought. That's not the point. The point was one believed, the other one didn't. One believed, in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says, by faith Abel. By faith, Abel gave a more excellent offering. It was by faith that he did it. So, and where does faith come from? Again, we go wrap right around to one thing: just hearing, just hearing. You know, the beautiful thing is, God has made us stars, and we're not going to go into it really right now. But He made us stars. And it's a cool thing because then, like, I believe it's like 2 Corinthians. I don't know if it's 1 or 2 Corinthians, but I think it's, maybe it's 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. The Lord starts talking about the gifts, right, of the Spirit. And you know what the funny thing is? All that a gift is, because I know we get all weird sometimes when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, but all it is, a gift is something that you received that you didn't work for. Somebody just gave it to you, right? So in you is every single gift on the inside of you. And as the Spirit of God, everybody says wills, and then that sounds religious. So, but as the Spirit of God wants to, right, He works that out of you. He'll work it, right, out of you. But it's the same thing, right? It's just being a star, right? Stars shine, and God shines and or manifests Himself, right, in different ways through different people. But it's the same Spirit shining for to what? To bring light to where there's darkness. So here's what you want to see, right? That God made the stars all. He said He made the stars in order to bring light to the earth. So the cool thing about that is that the way that the church, and we'll go into it maybe later on, but that the way that the church works, right, is that lights have to shine. They have to shine in the church and they have to shine outside of the church, right? But just in other words, just being that light. Do you know what it would do to all of us, right? What it would do to all of us. If we just are settled in our heart, not, it would eliminate imitation, it would eliminate envy, it would eliminate jealousy, it would eliminate so many things out of our lives. If we would just see, you know what, Lord, I am one of the stars that you have made. And just as you work in others, you work in me too, Lord. And it's just you working, you doing, and you manifesting, Lord, and you've called lights to be lights. You know what? Because something that he says about the gifts, and he talks about the gifts in a way like he's talking about sounds. Like every instrument has a different sound, but he also, what he says also is that in talking about sound, and he equates it also to voices, is that every voice has significance. Every voice has significance. In other words, what matters to, what should matter to you, and what matters truly, in other words, what makes a difference in this world. Because it's interesting, right, to say that. Every single person wants to make a difference in the world. That's what people want to do. They want to make a difference in the world. Nobody just wants to exist to be a lump, right? Everybody wants to make a difference. They want, it's by manifestation, by what comes out of a person, right? And the funny thing is that God gave every individual that purpose. He made us all stars, for lack of a better word right now, right? And actually, that is a good word, right? He made us all stars, or He made us all light, so that we could do what it is that He made us to do, which is to manifest light. To make Him manifest, right? To make Him who is the light, to make Him manifest. And you know what that would do just to each and every single one of us, just to know, Lord, you know what? Everything that you do, it's the same Spirit that works in us all. And to have the body of Christ begin to function that way, the way He talks about every part of the body. Right? Saying, you know what, one part of the body is not more important than the other part, but each part of the body doing its part, right? Doing its part, it says builds or edifies the body. In other words, the body itself is edified. It's built up by what? By itself. The body of Christ is built up by itself, you can say. Now, obviously, it's Christ that builds up and edifies the body, but it's Christ in us that builds up the body, right? So it's a cool thing. Listen, you can get it out of your mind. You don't have to find yourself. You don't have to find the uniqueness of you. You already know what is you. Because, and it's not that unique, right? What we are is not that unique, because to live is Christ. And if I don't tremble, well, what to live, what is it to you? Well, Christ. That's what we were just talking about before, right? And we said, well, Miss Susan, what is living? Well, living is Christ. So it's not that unique, right? We all have the same Savior and God on the inside of us, and we are all lights to be, right? And we not only testify of that light, right? But the light of God is manifest through us, right? So it's a cool thing. Everybody's either trying to find individuality, or trying just to be themselves, and what they're doing is they're looking at quirky things in their life and saying that they want to accept that as who they are. That quirk that they found that supposedly makes them different, they want to like embellish that quirk and make it their whole personality and their identity. But you don't need an identity. You already got one. Like, sometimes we're people that want to find an identity. You already got your identity. Your identity is Jesus, right? He's the one that has made you. He's the one that gave you life. God is the one that birthed you new, right? So you don't have to go find your identity. You already got it. Now, do you have to hear to know who you are in Christ? Yes, right? Because that's the cool thing. We continue to find and we continue to see and learn who we are in Christ. That's a good thing, right? To find who we are. So let's do this. If you all want to just stand up with me real quick, all that'll do is just give you a different posture, right? So you're not in the same position that you were just 5 minutes ago. So hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, my Lord, and we just praise you, Lord, for the things, Lord, that you speak to us, Lord, and how you have made us, Lord. Lord, we've been hearing you speak to us things, Lord, about who you have made us, Lord, and who we are, my God, and how we don't have to try to go and find and hunt for our identity, Father, but that's just one of the many things that are just revealed to us in Christ, Lord, that our hearing you is essential, Father, to everything. It's essential to finding out who we are in Christ more and more. It's essential, Father, to understanding what we have in Christ on the inside of us, Lord. It's essential to us becoming, Lord, partakers of what you've given. Lord, we find out who we are. We find out that you're the light. Then we find out, Lord, that you have commanded, Lord, us to be fruitful, because fruitfulness brings glory to you, Father. But we thank you, Lord, that we know that even the way that you make us fruitful, Lord, is just by receiving, Lord. There is a good word in there for the grace of God. It's just receiving, Lord. It's receiving what's been freely given. Receiving what's been freely given, Lord. So your purpose for us is in Christ. And your grace, Lord, is in Him also. So we thank you, Lord, that we have by the hearing of faith, which we can't even do by ourselves, Father, because I think Miss Lindsay was praying, Lord, we cannot even understand, even the greatest minds, she prayed. Even the greatest minds, my Father, even the most educated, cannot just comprehend and hear and understand the gospel for themselves. Because no one can hear. No one can hear. Father, to the one that is not hearing in faith in Jesus, to them, Father, it's just a parable. It's just a riddle. It makes no sense. It looks like something that has to be solved, that they have to work for in order to unravel the mystery. But I thank you, my God, that the mystery has already been unraveled in our hearts, illuminated, Father. The mystery, Lord, And the riddle has been unraveled, Father, and solved. And His name is Jesus. So we thank You, Lord, that we have, Lord, what is there then to do? Do we have to work for, Lord, to see who we are, Lord? We already have that on the inside of us. He'll reveal that to us. Do we have to work, my Father, in order to see people healed, or to see people delivered, to see people, Lord, helped in our lives? No, because He also does that also, Lord, from the inside of us, Lord. You're the one that does that. So, Father, what work is there to do, Lord? Is there learning then, Lord? Surely it's learning that we have to apply ourselves to learning and becoming smarter in the Word of God and memorization, Father. But we thank You, Lord, that it's not that either, because without You, Jesus, we can do nothing, and we're not able to even learn. We could memorize words, but we can never know what they mean. But thank You, my Father, that You are the one that reveals, Lord, even things, my Father, that we've not even yet even seen or even read. You can teach us and show us things that by Your Spirit, my Father, that we've not even laid our eyes, our physical eyes on. Father, we thank You, Lord, that there is, that what there is left to do, what there is left to do, Lord, is this thing that You have taught us called resting. Resting, which all that involves is coming to You. The acknowledgement of You, Jesus, coming to You when we're weary and heavy laden with work and trying to achieve. And You said that we would find rest for our souls in You, Jesus. That we would find rest for our souls. Father, if we can take our hearts, Lord, and bring it away from everything that would distract us in our mind. And just bring our hearts, Lord Jesus, to You. And say, Jesus, You have become, and I have heard it said here tonight, that You are my all in all. That my identity and who I am and who You have made me from my new birth, who You have made me, the righteousness of God in You, who You have made me and who I truly, truly, truly am. None of those things, Lord, can even be discerned by men. No man can look at me, Lord, and decide by looking at me, know who I am. Just, Lord, like Samuel took one look at David and he could not discern that that was a king. Father, You had to tell Samuel, that is the king. That is a king. Father, You have made us kings and priests. You have made us righteous people. You have made us perfect, my Lord. Perfect. The spirits of just men made perfect. And that may be difficult for the world to see, but it is not Your job to show them who You are. But just allow the Spirit of God on the inside of you to manifest who He is. And the fruit that you will produce will be after His kind. After His kind. Thank You, Jesus. You made us after Yourself. And the fruit still continues to be after Yourself, Lord. After You, Father, we thank You, Lord, that that's where the fruit comes from. So we thank You for all that You're doing, all that You have spoken, Father. We thank You, Lord, that we have ears to hear, and these things that are heard, Father, You'll continue to teach us. You continue, Lord, to open up our hearts to be able to see more and more as the days go by. I thank You, Lord, that You are the one that gives us that understanding. And we thank You, Father, for any hearing that was done tonight, my Father, that it would be not trying to understand, but just listening to You, Father, and trusting You for that. Trusting You for that understanding, and trusting You for the revelation and the light. We trust You, Lord, for You are that light. In Jesus' name, and if we agree, can we say amen? Amen, amen.
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.